to use the some HUD funds for this. Now, this bill as it is now will allow housing agencies.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry, what?
Excuse me, let me go ahead and finish it.
Okay.
You're saying it's not HUD money?
U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Says administrative fees from HUD in the bill, section 8.
If I could address that, Mr. Chair.
Can you give us your name for the record?
I'm Sheila Baker, I'm acting administrator of the housing agency. The way this language is written, this is sort of our catch-all budgetary limitation language. We do get administrative fees from Department of Housing and Urban Development, but they would not be used for this particular program. The funds for this program, if we have any available, would come from interest earned on our operating reserves.
Well, I understand the intent. I think the problem there is that the way, it's on the record that you're not going to use that, but this does say the maximum limit, including administrative fees, collected and received, provided in this, for the beginning, is increased. Such sum may be used for payment of. So indeed, it would appear to me that the administrative fees from the HUD funds could be used for the way that this is constructed, if you look at that.
Mr. Chair, statutorily, yes, there might be some confusion. Under our contracts with HUD, those funds would not be available for this purpose.
Well, we're going to be making an amendment here. Can we ask conceptually that legislative council, you run that by them, make certain that is clearly intended, that it would exclude any contracts. We obviously can't constitutionally abrogate any contractual arrangements anyway. Let's just make sure it's clear. Is that clear for you?
Okay.
Is that all right? Is that acceptable to you? We just prefer
mm-hmm.
that.
Fine.
If the language is okay, it'll stand. Otherwise, we'll have that amendment.
Okay.
Senator Hamby.
I'll move.
Moves House Bill 3285 as amended. Including the running that language in Section 8 by the LC, to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Senator Hannon, what we have done here is amended out Section 9 and 10 of the bill, which is unnecessary, and adopted it. It's a other funds extension or other funds limitation for the purposes of this, if that money is available from collected receipts.
$500,000.
Any further? The motion is by Senator Hamby to send the bill as amended to the full committee with a due pass. Is there any discussion?
Just one other comment, because this is a one, you notice on the fiscal impact, this is just for this biennium. So the positions that are created will be limited duration, because the funding's uncertain in the future.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Hope it goes well. If there's no further discussion, clerk call roll.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Bradbury?
Aye.
Representative
Sawa?
Aye.
Hanneman?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. Carrie, thank you for being
with us. Thank you very much. I appreciate the committee's action.
You here on Senate Bill 1078 as well? Anybody?
I believe Debbie is.
1078?
Right.
Sit down and we'll do that one.
If I could mention that Representative Bauman had to go pick her daughter up at the airport, and that's why she's not here.
Bill, right?
Yes.
All right.
I noted for talking fast.
Representative Stein, will you carry? Representative Stein, do you wish to carry 3285? Wait a minute. Actually,
you better be very short if it's Tuesday.
And on the Senate, Senator Hamby.
Yes.
Thank you.
And a full committee.
I'll carry it. Well, when we're going to have a current full committee, it's a House committee. Oh, I'll go ahead and I'll take it. Does that make any difference?
No,
it's a joint committee.
Tradition, I guess.
Traditions are for breaking.
It's been a long week, so.
Senate, which one is this? Senate Bill 1078. If you have that. Talk to us about it real quick.
Mr. Chairperson, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Debbie Wood, staff to the State Housing Council. What Senate Bill 1078 addresses is the point that Senator Bradbury brought up a couple of moments ago. That is the bill that would have been the vehicle for lottery funds had lottery funds been chosen to be allocated for low-income housing. For affordable housing. What this would do is to provide a clear outline and a focus for the use of funds that might come in, should they be available, giving a very clear directive for requirements of matching money and the purposes for which such funds might be used, and then gives a chance to spend during the interim some time developing potential on other funding sources. Representative Bauman is the person who has had the primary focus on this bill, along with Senators Cohen and Hill, and it's something that's been very widely supported by City of Portland, State Housing Council, and other entities. And all it does is give an outline on the books so that if some opportunities arise, it gives a very clear legislative intent on how the funding should be spent.
Very good.
Thank you.
Is there questions on the matter?
No, no question. I'm going to want to make a motion to put a $1 lottery funds limitation on this bill.
Well, my comment is that we didn't include the housing in the lottery funding program, and thus the reason for the $1.
That's exactly correct.
The $1 isn't allocated either, but I guess that's okay.
The what? Oh, that's right. We didn't allocate it in 3075 either.
We don't want to bring 3075.
No, we certainly don't.
Richard, so is this an acceptable amendment?
Sounds great to me.
Is there anyone else who wants to speak on this? Your last opportunity. All right. Phil, what do we need to do? Make an amendment to...
Well, we'll have to create an expenditure limitation here for $1 for an economic development fund.
Yes.
Yeah. Because as it is, this bill right coming to you today is non-fiscal. Oh, it was originally $12 million, down to 5, down to 0.
And we're making it fiscal again.
Yes.
And it is $1 in the lottery. What do you call
other
it?
Other funds?
Well, it's economic development fund is where it comes from. It would be other funds.
Yes.
Someone in the city of Portland out there is about to have a heart attack, and I want to make sure that we, someone who has an interest in this, Mark, what are you jumping up and down about this late
Chair.
In the afternoon?
Getting ready to dance. I'm Marge Gaffori, City of Portland. Point of clarification, I don't know whether there was still a budget note in 3075 that spoke to any overages going or being suggested to go to certain areas.
Oh. I think we have eliminated all
entirely.
References to anything in the overage. And
I didn't know there was an overage.
This mid-level bureaucrat's not going to get in the middle of it.
There's the chairman. He should know.
He just about had another heart attack when he brought the subject down.
We just don't want to deal with it.
I think what we have here will get us to the point that everybody wants to, the $1 other, or one other appropriation, and whatever that fund is called.
It could be $2 if the committee has a better interest. Years ago, see, we used to always put a dollar in. This session, there is a new terminology, you know, like the diver that dives in the pool and he holds up the cards. I've seen it from 10.
We gave
three,
one for 10
two,
the other day.
That's right, we did one for 10.
We did for 10 on something. You know, one of
well,
something.
That was a high priority.
Chair.
<That's
one laughs>
So.
I just need to think correct what you said. It's a $1 limitation, but not a $1 appropriation.
Right. Did I say appropriation? That's right. Yeah. $1 limitation. Do we want a $1? Anybody want to go for two? Okay, the motion then, a motion would be in order to create a $1 limitation for from the lottery fund, whatever the correct term is there, for Senate Bill 1078. Is there any objection to doing that? If not, that's so ordered. Do we want to move the bill?
Yeah.
Do we need to make any amendments on this bill as it's in front of us? Have we taken out all the huge fund numbers? Is this in the right form? All right, then.
So move.
Senator Hamby moves Senate Bill 1078 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on that? Not clerk, call roll.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Bradbury?
Aye.
Representative Soa?
Aye.
Hanneman?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. All right, thank you very much. Let's go to Senate Bill 555. We need to get Senator Hill down here for this one.
He's in
room F.
Have you got something to
carry this one?
His labor's
on the House side.
Sure.
No.
Let's try Bradbury.
Mommy and transportation. That's the
he's not
here.
You
got something you can do until
they get. Yeah, can we, Senate Bill 618 regarding state personnel. Is that a quickie?
618.
618?
Anybody
here on 618? Send about 618?
Whose bill is it? Dan was twice.
So Dan? Dan was here. Oops, here he comes.
618, Mike.
We do 618. Well, or is this a fast track average?
No.
Let's move on. Senate Bill 618.
Oh,
we're ready for Senator Hill.
Oh, that's the one. Mm-hmm. There's amendments.
Oh, there's Senator Hill.
Hey. Perfect. I'm just warming up for you.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello there. Well, let's.
Can I leave, Larry? Are
you gonna be here? We haven't started this one. Is this one gonna be a fast one or not?
Sure.
618. Right now.
618. Let's move on. So there's no one here to be heard on Senate Bill 618, so we're on a work session on it. Let's, Mr. Stinson, tell us what we're doing with Senate Bill 618.
Mr. Chairman, as amended, Senate Bill 618 requires agencies within the Department of Human Resources and the Department of Corrections to report quarterly to the Legislative Review Agency, i.e. the Emergency Board or Ways and Means Committee. Report shall include the number of vacant budgeted positions. The Legislative Review Agency shall order the reporting agency to show cause why the budgeted positions have not been filled and shall assess fully the impact of the vacancies on delivery of services, the budget due to increased use of overtime, the use of temporary employees, employee workload and morale on the health and safety and well-being of the public. It's different than the original bill. I do understand that the Human Resource Committee has already included somewhat similar language in the budget reports of those agencies.
Just for AFS.
For AFS, which is the major agency.
Right.
We do not, as the bill is currently written, we do not see a fiscal impact in the bill. It would just simply present a forum to discuss the agency's budgetary practices.
So moved.
Do we need amendments, or are we just saying we're passing it through here because it has a budgetary reporting requirement? I thought President Gilmore mentioned amendments.
No. There,
but it's already amended. That language already amended.
It used to say capture.
Yeah.
Right. It used to have a fiscal impact.
Yeah.
I see. All right.
It had a considerable impact before.
Right.
Exactly. Prohibited state agencies from leaving positions unfilled.
Right.
Oh,
well, that'd be great. Senator Hamby moves Senate Bill 618 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion?
I'm just very pleased that we're moving this bill.
All right. That's good. If not, clerk, call roll.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Bradbury.
Aye.
Representative Soa.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Before I vote, let Senator Hill vote.
Senator Hill vote.
Aye.
Senator Hill.
He came in, Senator Hill. And Burton votes aye. That's passed. Okay, now let's go to Senate Bill 555.
And you're going to stay here so I can head home?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, no, actually I can't stay.
Is there another bill after this one?
There is, yes.
Okay, I will stay.
Which?
This won't take long.
Okay. Fine.
I'll sit up here.
They're in a very voting, quick mannerism.
Yeah,
fast track.
We're all Senator Hill while you're out of the room. Representative Hanneman remind us about that anything over 5 minutes begins is like $1,000 from your account.
Every 10 seconds.
Okay, so they're serious. It's serious. There's a lot of properties around the state that have been contaminated because of illegal drug manufacturing activity. Most of those properties occur in the urban areas, but they're also scattered around the state in smaller towns and rural areas. There's no way for an owner or a lien holder or a local government to know when those properties may be used again, when they're cleaned, how to get them cleaned. There's a lot of doubt and fear regarding liability. Senate Bill 555 is intended to address these properties. It provides that illegal drug manufacturing sites may be cleaned up pursuant to these statutes and rules adopted pursuant to these statutes by the Health Division. The bill before you, the B. Engross version, has been adopted after long conversation with interested parties, including savings and loan, banks, realtors, Health Division, the fire marshal, local governments, cities, counties, etc. So it's definitely been worked through, and it has the support of all those parties. conditions, which are the proposed amendments you have. I've reviewed these amendments. Frank brought this to my attention today, and it's an improvement on the current version of the bill, and I'd recommend adoption of the amendment. It clarifies the bill rather than make any policy changes. I have one more small amendment to make at the request of Mr. Donica. In addition to the amendments you have before you, which amend page 2, line 9, I'd also like to recommend on page 2, line 16, after the word document, insert nor be reported, period. That also is clarifying, and it doesn't change the policy decisions of the substantive committee. With those two adjustments to the bill, I think we have full support from all the interested parties. And rather than me describe why we need the bill, I'd like Frank to make a brief comment.
Chairperson, members of the committee, I'm Frank Browner with the Oregon Bankers Association. This is a very, very important bill. We've experienced several instances with drug houses, particularly in the city of Portland. We're owners of some of those properties now, and there must be a way to move into the cleanup stage to finally, eventually move the property after it has been cleaned up. The amendment that we brought to Senator Hill's attention this morning, on line 8 it says all contracts may be voidable. Well, the mortgage is a contract, and we could see ourselves where we had extended through a mortgage or a trustee the $85,000 on the property, and all of a sudden it's discovered that it was formerly a drug house and hadn't been cleaned up, and it's voidable, and that's fine as long as we get our money back. And so the amendment that we're proposing makes it certain that the contract we're really talking about here is voidable, is between the buyer and the seller.
Okay, I understand that. Mr. Chairman, the bill has a B provision in section 14 on page 4. The bill is self-supporting. There's no general funds. The fees are intended to meet the cost of the program. The cost of the program has been estimated to be a total of $266,000 in the first biennium. I believe that's still the current request. The health division should be here, right? And is that still the level? Okay, we'll come up next and have a little bit of an update. We had originally the state fire marshal included in the bill. You may have a fiscal analysis that indicates a fiscal impact of the state fire marshal. That was unjustifiable, so rather than try to struggle with the fire marshal over how much it would cost, we simply stripped the fire marshal from the bill. So in the health side, we just took the fire marshal out and left him to his other duties. So the fire marshal is not in the bill, therefore there's no fiscal impact. We just have the fiscal impact upon the health division. So I'd like to be glad to answer questions about how the bill works, how it does, and how it happens, if you have time and interest.
Just a question, I guess, in the sense of who gets charged these fees.
The fees are charged to contractors who are hired to clean up the dirty houses. The bill provides that someone who has a house that has been contaminated must use a trained contractor, a licensed contractor, much as an asbestos contractor must be used to bat asbestos. These chemicals are extremely hazardous, and they ought to be cleaned up the right way, not by any old contractor.
So these are licensed by the builder board?
These would be licensed contractors who receive additional certification and pay an additional fee to be a drug house cleanup contractor. They must otherwise be licensed
by the health division to be additional, but they're contractors under the contractors board?
That's correct. They have to be plain old contractors first, and then they get this additional certification.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would just comment that one in my neighborhood cost $180,000. Now, that was the creek where they dumped the stuff out of the house. Five of them were hit within 3.5 hours one night, confiscated over $1 million worth of property, not drugs, but real estate. property and on personal property. Most of the expenses are accruing to both the Health Division and DEQ. Since public waterways were involved for the disposition of the chemicals, most of the expenses fell to DEQ. Do you have any comment about that?
This would provide a way by which the owner of a contaminated property could say, I've cleaned up the property according to the law. It is clean according to the law. It's been certified as being clean. I am fairly immune from liability if I now rent out my property and gain some income from it. That's something they can't say now.
The three individuals involved in this multi-million dollar ring are in federal prison, so they're not about to be cleaning up the property. I assume that the proceeds from the sale, which the federal marshal was involved with the AG's office in auctioning the property, that some of that will be used to reimburse the agencies. This bill doesn't speak to the confiscated real and personal property to pay the public agency, or does it?
No, if the property is forfeit to the public agency, this bill doesn't specifically speak to that, but the bill would allow that property to be sold. So the public agency...
Well, I should hope so, because that's the way we get rid of it, to pay for busting them. You get three more in Lane County, according to your sheriff, and five in Douglas County. That's still... And
it also
Tillamook County, so we've got a whole bunch of them to go yet.
It also depends on whether they come under RICO statutes, because if the house was clearly bought with the proceeds from an illegal activity, then it comes under RICO, and then those monies ultimately can accrue back to the state.
Mr. Chairperson, Frank Bronner, Oregon Bankers Association, Representative Hanneman, House Bill 2282 does speak to the forfeiture, but it could also be the lender that will hire this contractor and pay the fee to clean up the house.
That's right.
We'd gladly do that today, but there aren't any, there's not anybody out there that is certified, no procedure to get it done.
Most smart people wouldn't do that either, for any amount of money.
Most smart lenders will not loan money on a home that's going to be used eventually as a drug house.
Well, we have Mr. Bronner and others in this room worked along with the subcommittee that our committee I chaired during the interim on 2282, where is 2282?
It is in this end of the hallway as of yesterday.
I would like to ask someone to see if we can't
see this floor.
It's right here in this area.
Close by.
We have some sort of antenna out of a sort of radiating right now. Why don't you make the motion on the amendment? Would be appropriate this time.
Okay. First amendment would be on page 2, line 16, after the word document, insert or be reported. And the second amendment would be those provided to us by the Oregon Bankers Association. Proposed amendments to Senate Bill 55555B.
Okay, just a clarification, I think you said on line 16 that the word would be or recorded. Not reported, but
recorded.
Recorded.
Oh, okay. Let's get our English together here. Yeah,
that's why recorded, yes. As recorded. Recorded on a deed or recorded on any other document.
Oh, that's correct. Okay.
If the intent is to not create a permanent record that a property was once contaminated, we want to avoid that.
Okay.
Senator Bradbury moves that we amend Senate Bill 555 on page 2 of the Senate Bill, line 16, after the word document, to drop the period and add the words nor recorded, period, and
nor
then...
Nor be recorded.
Thank you. And this sheet.
That's right.
Okay. Are there any discussion on that motion? Any objection to that? If not, that's so. Or we have an amended bill in front of us. Y'all want to tell us something about finance? And I'd like you to hand on the fiscal aspect of this, because that's what we're really going to do.
Mr. Chairman, I take liberty inviting up the representative of the realtors to Realtors was so concerned about this problem that we...
We didn't have your name on it.
I'm sorry, General Hefke, Oregon Association of Realtors. We were so concerned that we approached Representative Hostica about this problem, who introduced a similar House bill for us. We have since worked with Senator Hill on the bill. I can tell you that Senator Hill and the others in the coalition went to great lengths to provide as much incentive for the property owner to clean up the property and as little disincentive as possible. What was happening previously is that property owners were either just abandoning the property and letting it deteriorate, which led to the deterioration of Oregon's neighborhoods. It was also hurting the tax bases in Oregon because these properties were worth little or nothing on the tax rolls. This is an excellent bill. A great many people worked very, very hard on it, and I just want to let you know that it's one of our top priority bills.
Okay, thank you very much. And will you run by this and we'll get your... You're the one that licenses these guys.
Yes, sir.
Does that, right?
Right.
All right.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there's 2 points to consider from a fiscal perspective. One is, since the revenue for the bill comes from fees, on page 3 I've attached a sample of what the fees would be. It's actually the Health Division's responsibility to set the administrative rule.
Is there big money in this business?
I guess there is.
There's an alternative. Okay, we'll get to this. Carry on. It's these are the fees against the cost makes it pretty well revenue neutral.
Yes, the the cost drives the need for the fees.
No.
We'll ask Senator Hill to explain all this in a minute, but
The reason for the high fees is the low number of prospective licensees. If instead of being 10 licensees, there were 100, then you could see that the fees would be reduced. So, as I was saying, the Health Division would come up with the final fee schedule, but this is just a sample.
All right, but to get this to be self-supporting, essentially, the fee schedule on page 3 is the one that's there. Well,
Mr. Chairman, may I address Art Kyle from the Health Division. In our original fiscal impact on this bill, and if I may, I'll just go right into that not the program description, I'll be more than happy to address those issues. We based this concept on an assumption that there may be no more than 10 individual contractors who would agree to get the training to clean up these drug houses. And so we put together a fiscal impact on what we assumed would be logical for this of an initial contractor fee of $300, a biennial license renewal fee of $150, a late fee of $5 or $75, initial training exam, 3-day program of $500, a refresher exam of 1 day of $200, a re-exam and fee of $30, a work plan reserve of $80, and civil penalties, of course, remain at $500. This, in essence, Mr. Chairman, members, generates the amount of $36,585 of fees. So the issue before you today is, if we charged a fee of $10,000 to make this general fund neutral, the Health Division would seriously doubt that anyone would be willing to pay a $10,000 fee to be licensed to clean up a drug house. So the issue is where the funds come from to do this, and if I may add, we are extremely interested in doing this. The Health Division has been involved in examining this issue, formed a clandestine drug committee in August of 87. We've had all the participants, law enforcement, all people working on this. I do have to admit we think it's very unrealistic to propose a $10,000 fee. And in order to operate this program, we have to get our experts to train these contractors in the procedures and cleanup to do this. So the funding is essential to the program, but I do feel it's unrealistic to say that we're going to find a contractor who will pay $10,000 for the right to get trained.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hill. There's approximately 500 of these properties that are uninhabitable, added to the list of existing uninhabitable contaminated properties each year. We have over 1,000 properties in the state that are sitting vacant because of contamination, and about 500 a year are added to those. If we just take 500 properties and assume a $30,000 value, market value, that's $15 million worth of property a year made unusable. Now, that's the current state of affairs, and the savings loan folks and the bankers and realtors will tell you that these properties could probably be disposed of, but there's